Pays all his fees, gets up to speed.
Yeah, it's a good standard.
Or tell us.
Okay, going back to the sign-in sheet, I have item 62, Peggy Giller, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Please come up to the table here, and this is item 62. Ms. Giller, please state your name for the record and your association with the case.
Yes, sir. Peggy Giller, and I'm the owner of the property that was subject to Mr. Heiss's survey.
Did you file a complaint?
I did.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Synopsis of the complaint. The respondent conducted a land boundary survey and produced a record of survey that is inaccurate and fails to include information related to, related to the long-term established boundaries of the property for a three-acre parcel north of a certain parcel on North 3rd Street in Phoenix. It is further alleged that the respondent failed to record a survey with Maricopa County. So, Ms. Giller, if you'd like to take this opportunity to explain what you know about this case to the board, please do.
Very good. The person that owns the 3 acres to the north of my property also owns the acreage to the south of my property. So he's on two sides. I bought the property in March of 2015. Sometime in early 2017, a stake with a ribbon on it showed up in my front yard. I didn't think too much about it. Some other things happened, and things gradually showed up. Things weren't all placed at the correct time. I had not surveyed the property when I purchased it because everybody knows that anything within that section that includes Carefree Highway is wrong. And you can fight and push boundary lines, tent it in any direction. So I based it on a Google Maps that I had pulled up from the early, the property was built in 1985, and the fencing was original, and there were some coarse shade that had been along that property line, including power lines since 1980. So I went back to 97 that I could find it in Google. But have probably the power lines have been there originally. So I called my neighbor and measured the tape in the front of the street and said, hey, I bought this property. It has 150 feet of frontage. The surveyor says you hired him. I now have 135 feet of frontage. So that survey took 15 feet, like 300 feet of property, almost an eighth of me. And he said, well, if you don't like it, too. And those were his, after a few other adjectives, those were his, that was his basic demise to me. So I contacted Mr. Heiss and said, you know, you didn't file this, you didn't put boundaries up. I have a neighbor to the north of that piece of property. I said, you took some of his property, too. Those people have owned that piece of property for 53 years. You know, this is obscene. He said, if you don't like it, who pretty much said, if you think there's adverse possession, contact an attorney. That's all they said to me. So in doing research, I found out that the owner of the property on both sides of me actually bought my house, deeded the 150 frontage, but he wanted to put a house on the land to the north of me, and he didn't have enough clearance from a floodplain or a flood wash, so he needed some more land to get the clearance, is my thinking, and he just took my land, went to the county, got a permit. The permit was sealed at the county. The permit has been sealed at the county since March of 2017. I have pictures of it, but if you call the county or look it up online, that permit's been sealed. And personally, I think they just out and out tried to steal the land to try to get a permit to make the acreage to the north unusable, and the surveyor involved didn't file his, he didn't record when he was supposed to, he didn't put the boundaries up when he was supposed to. He never spoke to me, never asked me about the boundaries, never said anything, just stuff started showing up in my yard. So I filed a complaint with the Board of Registration, and we had a hearing in March, and that surveyor was on a scale of 1 to 10, his, everybody said that his errors were 10s, and that out of the 7 accusations, 5 were upheld, and I would like to get something back that says that the survey's no good, so I can keep my land without paying $10,000 for an attorney. At the time that I appeared at the meeting, I did recommend that the Board of Registration consider an arbitration board here that you would facilitate for people in the state of Arizona, that people know they can get away with this by just saying, if you don't like it, sue me, because it does fall in the other person's lap, that they can just take your land, and if you want to complain or say adverse possession, I'm the one who's had to pay a $5,000 retainer to the attorney, and I thought that it would be advantageous for the Board of Registration to facilitate an arbitration board here. You have the facility, you have obviously some kind of judicial process, that it would really help a lot of people. My neighbor to the north of me does not have the mental wherewithal to get back his 8 feet of 150 feet that was taken in the survey process, and I've included him in my complaint just to try to help the guy out, and I thought that perhaps the board could consider that as a great service to the people of the state of Arizona. Attorneys may not like it, take a lot of money out of their pockets, but I really think that it's an unfair process, that the person who is, that piece of land in my neighborhood, if you're familiar with Desert Hills right now, there's nothing stick built under 400,000. It's all one plus acre properties. So that 4,500 square feet, you know, taken 15 feet by 300, 4,500 square feet, in my neighborhood is worth between $40,000 and $80,000. You know, so that's grand larceny for someone to just take a piece of property, go down to the county and say, oh yeah, we got lots of room to put a house on that, you know, floodplain piece of property, and the heck with the neighbor, if you don't like it, sue me. Knowing full well that I would have to, you know, take 2 years, lay out. I have a $5,000 retainer with Provident Law in Scottsdale, and I really appreciate what the board's been able to do. I didn't know that the process was there. So, you know, I'm hoping that his survey is thrown out as a complete joke and a complete contrived theft of land so this guy can make his property useful. And I have documentation of all those things with me. And that the surveyor was, the charges against him were substantiated during the hearing. So is there a way that you throw out his survey and say it was no good? Or
I'm not aware of one.
I mean, because that means I have to go pay for another survey, which is probably going to be wrong based on the property lines because of the mistake on Carefree Highway. You see what I mean? I can't help the mistake on Carefree Highway. Everybody in my neighborhood knows that. And sometimes people will just take advantage of it and say, well, if you don't like it, sue me.
I understand that. There are many, many title and land ownership problems throughout the state of Arizona. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the citizens are kind of left having to resolve these in the Superior Court. Okay. So we're limited on what we can do here with any kind of restitution or things like that. What we have in front of us is a signed consent agreement from the respondent that includes a letter of reprimand, a state suspension and probation, remedial training, peer review, administrative penalty in the amount of $3,000, and cost of investigation in 580. So the question in front of this board today is, do we accept that signed consent agreement. That's what we'll discuss here. Ms. Gillier, I appreciate your comments. I think that they're positive, and they reflect something that's a true condition in the state of Arizona, throughout the whole state.
Throughout the country.
So does the board have any questions of Ms. Gillier?
Now, I think just to reiterate what you said is, I mean, unfortunately, it's outside our jurisdiction to, do another survey or arbitrate those issues. What we can do is make sure that any registered surveyor meets our standards and that they get, we're asking that he gets additional training and oversight to make sure he doesn't do this again.
So the question in front of us is, do we accept this signed consent agreement?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion we sign the signed consent agreement for P18-033.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the matter? Okay, I'll just add something very quickly. This is the effect. This is the public harm. We're seeing it right in front of us. This person now has to spend a lot of money to defend her property because of substandard surveying, because of quick surveying, fast surveying, people that don't pay attention, people that don't run a chain of title. They don't care about anything but taking a magic marker and drawing lines on the ground. We saw that earlier today. We're seeing it again. It's repetitive. It's harmful to the public. This is the harm that happens when you have a bad survey. So that's my diatribe for the day.
Chair, if I may ask, did he start with a bad point and surveyed okay, or he just wasn't good at it?
There's a lot of depth in that question that I don't think we can get into here. Just looking at what the EAC did, they arrived at tens with the severity. That's what we're resting on here. So,
Mr. Chair, just to point out, the survey was conducted, put together on one quick claim deed. That's the only thing that came as evidence with this land survey. So it was a turn and burn.
The board in the past has, on occasion, required a corrected survey. I just don't know that there would be an agreement on what's corrected, but this certainly spells out deficiencies, failure to account why he didn't consider a monument, whatever. I do think we could, if we wanted to, and it might be an either or, require him to file a corrected survey within
after research and title reports and other relevant information
within a certain amount of time, or I don't know what the process is to withdraw a survey.
You can't. Once they're recorded,
yeah,
they're recorded.
That's what I thought.
So what has to happen is the public just has to look at it unfavorably. I guess that's the remedy. Once it's recorded, it's there. So
yeah, but couldn't you, maybe we do the former then.
Can we glue it over top of it?
Yeah, because he records himself a corrected survey. Doesn't that give people an indication that the original survey wasn't very good?
It could.
If they find the first one, they should find the corrected one.
I think where I get hung up with that a little bit is the surveyor thinks he's right now, so how are we going to, without coercing him, how are we going to say he's not right? How are we going to tell him that he's not right, and are we in that spot? So what I see is him acknowledging maybe something, but really I think the remedy for a possible remedy would be for another surveyor to file the opinion, a different opinion, and then they're stuck having to either agree or duke it out in court, and it's not a good thing.
Do we assume this is never subdivided? Is this a wildcat arrangement?
I'm not sure.
Just to remind you again, the biggest problem in our section is that Carefree Highway is incorrect. There was a mistake made when Carefree Highway was laid out, and we're in that first section, and everybody knows that any survey you do in that section, you can move it around 10 feet any direction, not 15 feet, but you could squeeze 10 feet out of it. Even a corrected survey may not show boundary lines that were established and a frontage that matches the warranty deed of 150 feet. Now, the good news is that my neighbor owns both sides that ordered this. I could take his swimming pool. I don't have a problem with that. You know. But I really think that something should be on the books, recognizing that that survey, especially with the being substantiated at 10 of severity of his lack of, work. Something should be noted somewhere.
Yeah. And I think right or wrong is subjective. I mean, you made the case that everybody's entitled to a professional opinion, but we want a well-researched and justified opinion. I don't think we tell them what the findings of the survey need to be, but can we tell them to file a corrected survey after doing, you know, proper research at the assessor's office and other places, wherever it's appropriate, and not just a single quit claim deed?
Well, I don't know that we can find what's reasonable for a correction. I think that's where I get hung up. You know, does he correct one or two things, or does he go into fixing the world? Does he address all of Carefree Highway? Does he, you know, I don't know what the standard is for those corrections. And I would hate to try to issue an order that might impact people around this as well, that we don't know about. So really, really kind of reluctant to do anything like that.
I understand your concerns, but I do wonder, because it's pretty explicit in here on six items.
Yeah.
If we could ask him to require him to do a corrected survey that addresses the items set forth in whatever paragraph this is, A1 through 6 of the consent order.
Well, I appreciate your opinion and your experience and your insight, and I can kind of rest on that. I get a little more comfortable when I see somebody that's not a surveyor making this recognition.
Well, but I'd probably rather have the same surveyor do a corrected survey than have his original survey and someone else coming in, because then you've just got a difference of opinion.
I agree.
And if we are able to do, whether we accept this or we get a revised version that he signs, this becomes public record.
Correct.
And so it sets forth the findings of fact and the conclusions of law.
Right.
That essentially say that his original survey failed in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'd listen to a motion.
Well, did we have one already?
Yeah, no. We had a motion to accept it.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And a second. And I can withdraw. No problem.
Well, that's what discussion is for. Okay. So.
Do you not like withdrawing seconds?
Should we go to the motion then?
It has been moved and seconded. It can certainly die for, can we vote it down?
Thank you, Mr. Donald. So we have a motion and a second, and I have to read it to remember exactly where we're at. The motion and second was to accept the signed consent agreement. We've had some discussion that was a little bit revealing, so I'm going to call for the question here. And all in favor of accepting the signed consent agreement, say aye. All opposed to accepting the signed consent agreement, nay.
Nay.
Okay. That was unanimous with the nays. So,
all right, Mr. Chair, I'll move that we offer a revised consent agreement that adds a provision that the respondent prepare and record a corrected survey after, help me out a long time
ago. After doing, after resolving the items identified by the EAC.
In paragraph 6A, 1 through 6, as set forth in the
EAC report?
No, it's set forth in this, in the consent. Let me see what we call this. As set forth in the consent agreement, order of discipline. Because that part won't change. You can make this Everett and Angel.
I'll second that, I guess.
Okay, I'm just looking at the signed consent. Let's pass it up. Kurt, are you clear on all that for the record?
Can we restate it?
A little bit, please. I can always do it later on the line list.
Yeah, we want to offer a revised consent agreement that adds a provision requiring the respondent to prepare and record a corrective survey. Tell me when you're ready. That addresses items A, 1 through 6 in paragraph 6 of the findings of fact.
So, the motion is revised consent agreement, adding that respondent shall prepare and record a corrected survey that addresses items A1 through 6 in paragraph 6 of the findings of fact. And that was seconded by Dr. Angel, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there any other language we need to add in there? The typical, if not signed within 30 days stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And this might be sort of irrelevant, but I would be willing to even reduce the penalty, the administrative penalty, if it helped. Okay.
Yeah. No.
You gave me the...
No.
All right.
What is the time frame for filing the survey?
I don't know what makes sense for
60 answer. Days?
I would say 90 from the time the consent agreement is signed.
And provide proof to the board that's been completed?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that was all part of my motion.
Okay.
Of course. Okay, so we're there. I'm going to call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Ms. Gillier, thank you for coming.
Thank you
and
very
I
much.
Really, really appreciate your input.
Thank you. I appreciate your consideration.
Yes, and thank you for bringing up the, what was the term you used? Arbitration panel, or
I really think that I mean I know it's not something you know might have to go through the state legislature, but I really think that the citizens of the state, especially with the situation of real estate being so valuable in Arizona, when someone steals 15 feet or you know 10 feet or a foot, a substantial, and a lot of people can't afford or don't have the wherewithal to file complaints and don't have the time to come to the, you know, hearings and things like that. And I just think, you know, as a service to the state of Arizona, is something that the legislature could fund. I don't think it's something the board needs to fund. But you have the facilities.
Well, thank you.
You hire some of these fine attorneys to do it for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, that's that was 62. Moving on to the next person on the list, Mike Hills Case is 6D5. Are you still here? Come on up. So we're looking at 6D5.
6D5? Did you say
65? 6D5, dog. Okay. Okay, we're on item 65. The respondent is Michael Hills. He's present. Sir, state your name for the record.
Michael Hills.
Thank you. The complaint is alleging that the respondent and respondent firm engaged in the practice of architecture without board registration on the Alliance Plumbing Project in Phoenix, Arizona. Case number is P19043, and get down to the bottom of this. We do have a signed consent agreement in front of us. Mr. Hills, is there anything you want to offer to the board?
Not really. Jeff here was very helpful during the process. He presented a consent agenda to me, and I'd signed it, I agreed to it. I had noticed I did make mistakes on a couple of projects, and I believe I've corrected that. And just wanted to be here if you guys have any additional questions. Or
thank you. Any discussion from the board? Any motions from the board?
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we approve the signed consent agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
I do have one question for staff, and I think Mr. Hills has done the right thing. He's had his firm registered and has a register on the board. John Meisner signed a couple of your previous projects, and he was under contract to you for those projects.
It was just for the initial Alliance Plumbing project.
Okay.
And that's where I didn't think I was going to proceed into Phoenix Design, but Alliance Plumbing had a lot of problems with my previous firm, and they were in the process of use permit where it expired, and they were having to go through the whole process all over again. They waited almost 9 months with the City of Phoenix. So I stepped in. I offered to help them as a designer, and I hired an architectural friend of mine to do that project. And that, I believe that's where I made a mistake, because I hired him for me instead of just having the client go directly with him. But since then, similar issues have happened with the firm that I was at, and that's where I come to my decision to work with.
Yeah, so just for the record, yeah, you can't be paying the architect. It should be the other way around, or he should be one of your employees, not. Okay. And hopefully that's been clarified to Mr. Meisner.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
Would you like staff to open a case against Mr. Meisner for aiding and abetting? I think it's a pretty clear-cut case.
It's a clear-cut case. I was wondering if we should do a letter of concern initially. And would that have to be advertised if we did that? Because it's not disciplined?
Mr. Morris.
Can we issue a letter of concern without it being on the agenda?
Yeah. Open it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we can open a complaint against Mr. Meisner.
Do you want to do that, Jason?
I think we would in any other case. It was, obviously a registrant that was signing a document that wasn't produced by his employee. At least they can take a look at it. It might not go anywhere, but I think it's what we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good observation, Mr. Madison. Okay, well, that concludes that case. Thank you, Mr. Wells.
Hills, I'm sorry.
Next person signed up to speak is Lydia Reyes on case 6D8. And 68, do have a signed consent agreement in this case. Ms. Reyes, would you announce your name for the record?
Yes, my name is Lydia Reyes.
Okay, and is there anything that you'd like to add or say to the board at this time?
No, I recognize that I made a mistake, and then I'm going to follow the rules, and I'm in the process of suspending that business.
Okay, any discussion from the board or any motions?
I make a motion that we accept the consent agreement as signed.
Second that, Chair.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you, Ms. Reyes. Next we have Richard, is it Lynch or Ginch?
Lynch.
Lynch, 6C2. And this is a home inspection on a quiet...
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I think we're calling into the respondent on this one.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I have another ledger. Quiet.
Okay, so...
Who is it?
She's the ledger. We're calling the respondent.
Oh. Okay.
It's the ledger's husband.
So, just for clarification, we have a call-in to the alleger, we have the alleger present, and the respondent on the phone. Is that correct, Kurt?
Correct.
Calling the respondent. Okay.
Hello, this is Scott.
Is this Mr. Fidel?
It is.
This is Kurt Winter, the Arizona Board of Technical Registration. We are currently here in front of the board meeting, and I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to call somebody else, and then we'll bring you back to the meeting, okay?
Okay, just so you know, I didn't anticipate this happening so late, and I have a 1 o'clock home inspection.
All right, well, our apologies. The board decides on that, so I'm going to move along and put you on hold, sir.
Okay.
So who caused the ledger's
Oh, okay. Is this Mrs. Lynch?
This is Jane Lynch, correct.
This is Kurt Winter at the Arizona Board of Technical Registration. I'm here at the board meeting to connect your call with the board members.
Wonderful, thank you so much.
I want to place you on hold and connect with the other individual on the phone, so hold on please.
I appreciate it, thank you.
Mr. Fidel, are you still there?
I am.
Mrs. Lynch, are you still there?
I am still here.
All right, we are good to go.
Okay, for the record, we have Mrs. Lynch on the phone, we have Mr. Fidel on the phone, and we have Mr. Lynch present at the table. Okay.
And for the record, I can't hear you.
Me either.
Okay, well, I'll speak into the microphone. Is that better?
Can you repeat? Yeah, going in and out. Can you repeat what you said the first time?
Okay, we're working with the microphone here.
Okay.
Okay, how is that for sound quality on the phone?
Much better.
Barely audible.
Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Lynch, are you affiliated with each other?
We are.
If Mrs. Lynch doesn't hear, are you a suitable representative for her at the table, Mr. Lynch?
Ask her.
Okay, well, I mean, it sounds like she's fighting the phone, so.
That's how we've been married so long.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Great answer.
That one could have went both ways. Okay, so.
I can't hear him.
Okay, so the case in front of us is that the board received a complaint alleging that the respondent failed to report on adverse conditions of exterior windows during his home inspection on Canyon Drive in Tucson, Arizona. We're looking at offering a consent agreement on this. The consent agreement we don't have a signed consent agreement on this, do we?
No.
This
no.
is okay.
Proposed to offer.
Okay, there it is.
The complainants have not seen consent agreement.
No, I have seen the consent agreement and I decline.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fidel. Let's talk about this case while we have everybody here. Mr. Lynch, you're at the table. You're here. You have 3 minutes to state your case to the board.
Okay. And just in brief, my wife and I were residents of California, decided to move to Tucson, Arizona. Our oldest son graduated from U of A. That's how we knew about Tucson. We identified a home in Tucson. We came out for a weekend from California. My wife and I looked at approximately 6 to 8 different properties with a realtor. We decided on one. We flew back to California. We provided a map offer for a particular house at 2203 East Grand Canyon Drive. After a couple of counters, we entered into a contract with a right of inspections. We hired with our realtor's referral, Fidelity Home Inspectors, on July 4th, actually. I called and talked to Mr. Fidel, said, I'll send you the agreement on July 5th. I'll do the inspection. I signed the agreement. We did the inspection on July 5th. It's a 30-day close. Very detailed inspection report that I paid for, that I received the evening of July 5th. There were, in the report, there were some deficiencies, which we went and addressed with the seller. However, there was the only mentions of the window. On page 12, metal clad wood frame material. Page 13, the windows, quote, the windows are frames and sills were in generally acceptable condition. Page 32, types of windows installed were consistent with were casement and fixed double glazed. Page 33, overall comments on windows. Quote, the windows tested were properly installed and were in acceptable condition as far as visual observation could indicate. We operated every window which was acceptable, accessible, but did not likely open or close and latch every window in the home. Page 40, general comments. Windows were generally found to be in acceptable condition. However, routine maintenance or repair as noted in the report is indicated. There was no other indication within the report with regard to the windows. According to the standards of professional practice, the inspector shall, 5.2b, the inspector shall operate all entryway doors and representative number of windows, including garage door 11.1d, a representative number of doors and windows. He shall observe. 11.2a, the inspector shall operate the representative number of primary windows and interior doors. Go to the glossary of the standards, representative number. For multiple identical components, such as windows and electrical outlets, the inspection of one such component per room. For multiple identical exterior components, the inspection of one such component on each side of the building. As it turned out, we did purchase the property. The owner did make the corrections to the items that we asked for, no issues of the windows. After moving in, August and September, very hot. He used air conditioning. October, my wife goes to crank open a window, and the condition of the window. The exterior wood cladding fell off. This was shuts like this. But that's, you crank it open, and that's visually what you can see. The exterior of the metal cladding literally fell off. I had to tape it on. So this is... There. Walked in the front door, three picture windows looking at the Catalina Mountains, overlooking the pool. These are the money shop windows. Three of them. Two of them have 18-inch awning windows that you open for ventilation. This was on one of the awning windows that you crank to open up. Dining room. One window in the dining room. There are two windows that operate facing the front of the house. Two, there's a total of four. Two are fixed, two are casement windows. One is in the dining room. Turn the crank, that's what you see. It's not on the corner, it's not hidden. You turn the crank and that's what you see.
Mr. Lynch, is this information that you've shared with the Enforcement Advisory Committee?
Exactly.
Okay, so you've introduced this information. This was reviewed by the Enforcement Advisory Committee. It's part of our information packet here. Thank you for showing us the pieces there.
So, pictures do one thing, but visually, you see. Yeah. So on
Mr. Lynch, and if you could be brief, because I think out of respect to the respondent, he's got a 1 o'clock. We want to hear from him as well.
Okay, so on 4:30, we met with the, apparently it's the ADC. They found substantiated, the complaint was substantiated, and they found the category severity level 3, all 4 quoted in paper. And my understanding of the severity level was 1 to 5.
Okay. So we have all that information. Thank you. Let's hear from...
Just to conclude...
Yes, please.
We replaced the 5 windows.
Okay.
At a cost. I tried to work amicably with Mr. Bedell. I sent him the original quote before we replaced, and it was from Pella. Rather than hearing back from him, I got a letter from his attorney saying that we were misguided, that we didn't attend the inspection. A realtor attended the inspection, and that it's due to the monsoon season.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fidel, we'd like to hear your response on this.
Okay, and I just ask, I have a prepared statement. I asked Ms. Lorera to provide copies to you. I'm not sure if you have that.
We have it.
Okay, good. So I would just like to read this. And it may take 4 minutes, obviously. They were provided more than the 3 minutes allotted, so I just asked that I'm able to read this. as you know, my inspection report was submitted to two board-certified home inspectors for additional assessment. The first review was conducted by a Dennis Nobley, and he concluded that, quote, "It appears to me that the respondent did conduct the inspection in accordance with the standards of professional practice for Arizona home inspectors. Clearly, the photos indicate water damage at some window frames, but whether the damage was present at the time of the initial inspection is not confirmed, not determined. It appears the damage could have happened after the initial inspection was completed." Now, this assessment by one of the two assessors was dismissed for the second assessment, which was done by a Mr. Bakkenugan. And he said, quote, regarding the water damage to the window frames, in my opinion, the water damage was present at the time of the inspection. The house was vacant. If the inspector had opened each operable window, he likely would have seen the water. The inspector chose to do the minimum, which is to operate a representative number of windows and miss the water damage. Despite Mr. Bakkenugan acknowledging that I complied with the standards, he still recommended an EAC meeting for further review based on his opinion, not on how the standards are written. In summary, the first reviewer concludes that I complied with the standards of professional practice. The second reviewer concludes that I complied with the standards, but chose to do the minimum, which is to operate a representative number of windows. Even if you don't believe that I inspected every operable window, the standards do not require me to do so. Okay, there is no evidence that water damage was present at the time of the inspection, and there is no appropriate rationale for weighing one licensed assessor's opinion over the other as to whether the water damage was present at the time of the inspection. The obligation of this board is to determine whether my report met the standards. And as Mr. Lynch himself pointed out, it does address the standards via 5.2B, 11.1B, and 11.2A as it relates to this issue. Now, regarding allegations 2 and 3, plumbing and gas support, there were two alleged deficiencies identified by the two assessors, but not identified by the complainant. Note, these minor issues would not be before the board today if the EAC had properly determined that my report met the standards regarding the windows. Both assessors that reviewed my report stated that, quote, the respondent failed to report on the condition of the plumbing supports and insulation and the type and condition of fuel distribution supports per the standard of professional practice 7.1. My report does state that, quote, the interior water supply piping cannot be confirmed. There was no attic access and no exposed piping that would provide the opportunity to determine the type of supply piping used. I further say the exposed and visible piping was generally in acceptable condition with no signs of leakage or failure noted at the time of the inspection. And please note that the report checklist supplement, item number 30, states that I should observe and report on the condition of all visible supports and insulation. Visible. Number 42 states that I should observe and report on the condition of all visible fuel piping and supports. Well, these items were not visible. And that's why I don't document insulation and support in my report. Lastly, regarding allegation 4, which is that my license number was not on the inspection agreement, I'd just like to say that the purpose of including the license number on an inspection agreement is so that the consumer can readily find the license information should they have concerns about the inspection provided. My license number is documented on page 3 of my inspection report. And it is clear that the complainant was able to identify my license number. Notwithstanding, I have now added my license number to my inspection agreement, and I continue to provide it in my inspection report. Now, as a small business owner, I am running a respected and successful home inspection business, completing roughly 400 home inspections per year. And the purpose of the standards is to protect the public from unscrupulous business practices, not to be punitive to small business owners over issues that are not related to the safety, health, and welfare of the public, as is outlined in your mission statement on the Board of Technical Registration. I provided a 43-page comprehensive inspection report that both assessors concluded met the standards. And I hope that everybody that is making this decision today had an opportunity to review my report. This board has a duty to enforce the standards, not to establish higher standards that do not currently exist in Arizona law. If the board intends to reprimand me, then I will respectfully request a hearing before an administrative law judge so that I may present my case before an impartial decision maker, and so representatives of the AVBTR can explain why they believe their authority exists beyond what is written in Arizona law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fidel. So we've heard from the alleger and the respondent.
May I make one comment?
Please do, sir.
So he said that he operated a representative number of windows. He has a duty to observe and report what is visible. That's all we were asking. We justifiably, not questioning his report, he just failed. He either didn't open all the windows he said he looked at, or if he did, there was incompetencies at issue, because these are readily visible. We relied on his report, justifiably relied on his report, to our detriment. We ended up replacing five windows.
Well, if I may,
yes, Mr. Fidel.
If I may respond to that, the problem I have with it is this. And I have supporting evidence that I submitted to the EAC, and I really wasn't happy with the way the EAC meeting went in terms of my ability to speak. And so I am appreciative today, at least, of feeling listened to, even if you don't rule in my favor. But, you know, I attached a news article from our local paper, the Arizona Daily Star. And that article, what the headline was that in August, the month after I completed the home inspection of August 2017, we had the wettest monsoon in recorded history, over 200 years in Tucson. It was the wettest month of rainfall on record. Okay, and with that comes high winds, and there's no question that there's damage to that window frame, but what I'm saying is that the damage came as a result of the cladding on the framing coming off, and then being susceptible to that weather. At the time of the inspection, that cladding was not loose or had not fallen off, and that water damage did not exist. So that is my position, and I don't see how there's any evidence that shows that that water damage was present at the time of the inspection. Now, I also submitted a letter from the Lynch's own real estate agent, and what his letter says is that that he can't state that I opened every window, but that he can confirm, because he did follow me around on the, for parts of the inspection, he can confirm that he did see me open some of the windows. You know, and so, I mean, come on, guys. It's just ridiculous. I do the best job that I possibly can for my clients. I work hard. I care about their happiness. But I simply am just not at fault here, and I wasn't going to capitulate to the Lynches when I did nothing wrong. I provided a very competent, lengthy inspection report, and I stand by it.
Thank you, that's Mr. All. Fidel.
I have no doubt the damage is due to the monsoons since the house was built in 2000. 16 years of rain that probably seeped down through 2016, in 2 months' time since we moved in, that caused I think, common sense for that.
Okay, let's open this up for board discussion.
Yeah, just be aware, I think I lost Mrs. Lynch.
Okay. Mr. Fidel, this is Neil Jones. I'm an architect on the board. Mr. Lynch described in his home this group of windows that faced toward the Catalina Mountains. They were the money shot, as you said. And the two on the left and right, they were operable windows.
The bottom bottom.
It seems to me, with that being a feature of the, an architectural feature of the house, that you would have opened one or both of those.
Well, generally as a standard, I actually open every window.
So did you?
And yes, I did. I did. In fact, there was only, I believe, about six operable, despite the fact that this house is a very large home. You know, I think around 4,000 square feet. There were only about a half a dozen operable windows in the home.
Okay, thank
so
you.
So again, my, yes, sure.
So what does that mean? It was not operable or it was?
He said he opened them.
It's not the operability of the windows, it's the question.
Well, there's both fixed
the
and
wood.
Operable.
It's the wood rot.
It's the wood rot.
Yeah.
If you'd opened the window, after 16 years, if you'd opened the windows, you could have noticed some wood rot.
Right. And, I mean, the one photo that it's on 1532, that's the one that bothers me the most. Some of the other ones, I believe, because these windows were clad on the outside, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. They're aluminum clad wood frames.
And so it looks like a lot, some of the rot was be, if I'm looking at these photos correctly, it looks like some of the rot that was present once you took the windows out was behind the cladding.
No.
On the outside.
No, here's where the whole pane window is. This closes up against
right
the window. So you crank it open, and that's what you see. That's, we're not underneath here. This is, so here's where the crank is. You crank it open, and that's what's visible.
Right, and that looks like this, that piece must have been this piece right here that was in
right.
1532. So, it had to be. Looks like the same piece.
Looks like it's damaged.
Do we know what these pictures
are? I brought the four pieces for the corresponding to the windows.
I would assume that these are pictures that
I took.
That he took. In this window.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt. I did go back to the Lynch's house after they expressed concern, and I took photos of each interior and exterior of the windows, and I submitted those to Ms. Loera, and I asked that those photos be the photos that are used to make this assessment, because, of course, this inspection was 2 years ago, and I don't know how much longer those windows, I can't even see the window frames, of course, because I'm not there, the ones that are brought there, but I don't know how long those window frames stayed installed and in place and exposed to the weather after the time of which I went and took those photos. So those photos that I submitted should be the photos that are being used to make the assessment, not the actual window components that are
so
there.
So as a point of clarification, those photos are done after the inspection, after the report's been provided to us.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, are those photos from 2017, 2018? When are they from? I mean, some of them are when you were installing the new windows, but I'm trying to figure out when did the windows look like what's on that photo on page 1532, and I don't know if Ms. Laura knows when these pictures are from.
Well, okay, the ones that are in our packet, who took these pictures?
I took those pictures.
Okay, so did the respondent?
He provided.
Do we have those? And they're in here as well?
So we contacted Mr. Fidel, tried to resolve this amicably, and said, there's an issue here. He actually said, let me send somebody out. So we'll call League of His, letting those from...
Okay, his must start on 1625.
Anderson Windows came out and said, you know, we thought they could be fixed, right?
Or, 1623.
And so he said, no, the integrity of the windows can... compromised. You need to replace the entire window. And so we went back to Scott. Scott originally said, well, let's take care of this. Trying to, you know, get window...
Well, that's not accurate. That's not accurate. Okay. I did not say that I would take care of this. What I tried to do, once Mr. and Mrs. Lynch expressed their concerns, of course, I went back to the home and I investigated and I met with them. Originally they told me there were several, I think the number was six or more window frames that were, quote, completely rotted out.
No.
And that's documented in my email communication with Mrs. Lynch. And when I went there, there was actually two window frames which were at that picture window location where the cladding had fallen off. And I am also a registered general contractor, and so I know subcontractors. And I said to them, as a courtesy, let me get my door and window supplier out here and have him take a look at it and see if there's an easy way to remedy this. And the conclusion was there's not, because with these apparently Posi windows, which I had never heard of Posi brand before, but there's a history of moisture issues related to that brand of window, and that window has since been discontinued, and it's difficult to find replacement parts related to that. After that meeting, I ultimately received a demand letter asking that I pay over $12,000, which, of course, as I said, I did not feel was appropriate. I declined, and that's where how we got here today.
No, it was an email, Scott, saying, here's the quote from Pella. I said, you know, we know that there's at least two to three door windows in question here. I'm willing to work with you. Rather than come back and say, get another quote or two, you know, let's resolve this, I got your turn.
Mr. Fidel, this is Andy Everode on the board. When did you take the photos that you submitted?
I believe they were taken in December of 2017.
So after the report, when we came to our house, he says, wait a minute, before I even talk, I want to take pictures of all the windows. And so we waited 15 minutes while we went around the house.
Okay, here's the thing with this. There's all these photos in here, and I have no idea who did what. So, I mean...
Well, I provided the photo. I actually mailed to Miss Loera a thumb drive with just the photos on it.
I know, and we have the photos. It's just there's a bunch of photos in our packet, and none of them are labeled of who took them and what the dates were. So it's confusing because we have all these photos, but we don't know who took them and what dates they were on. So, I mean...
I understand. I don't know if the thumb drive is present.
Mr. Fidel, please. I would like to have staff re-put this thing together and look at the thumb drive and write on these photos, taken this date by this person, and the ones that the alleger taken on this date by this person, because...
Yeah.
There's just all these photos in there, and I have no idea when they were taken, who took them. Some of them show, they appear to show the same things, but I have no idea. So, is that something that it would help me with this case? I don't know if it would help everyone else.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
I filed the pictures with my complaint.
Right, and he filed pictures as well. It's just they're all in our packet, and we have no idea whose or whose.
Understood.
So
that's why I kept, when I replaced the windows, that's why I kept the representative beasts.
Mr. Lynch, I just want to announce that your wife has been dropped from the call and tried to call back in. Okay, you're okay with that? Okay.
Yeah, and so if staff could do that for us, and
Let me explain. This is actually probably on my part more so than the investigator. Because of the image sizes in this particular thing, it corrupted the bookmarks when it was merged in this particular thing. And that's why there
are... Oh, that's why your bookmarks didn't show up.
In this particular...
Yeah. But is that something we can correct?
I'm going to have to look into it for sure.
But, I mean, I would like, you know, in the packet, I mean, however you... If you need to resize some of the issues, that even if you, you know, wrote on there that what date they were taken and who took them on each photo. I mean, not write it, but electronically write it, or even put it in a summary. These photos were by, you know, the respondent, taken on this date. These photos were by the alleger, taken on this date. Because they all jumble together, and I can't tell which photos are what and who took them.
Or at least submitted on, because we may not have the taken on.
Right. I mean, and maybe there might be, if, you know, if it's on the... You know, the metadata for the photos. I mean, or even submitted by. But I think we have photos that he took when he did the windows that were a couple years after when the inspection was done. So that's kind of the...
Jason, are you comfortable with organizing them on the share drive, the file share per folder? Would that work for you? Or just to upload them per submitter?
Right.
You know, in folders?
That would be fine, too. I don't... As long as we have the photos and who took them and when they were submitted or approximately when they were taken.
I think he's trying to tell us he has to go.
Okay. Yes.
So if we're gonna let's figure out logistics, but if we're gonna table this, let's.
Right. Well, that's my suggestion. We table this. So.
Okay. Do we need a vote for that?
Will it make a difference?
Okay. We're gonna
sure because we have December of 17 is I think when we think.
Alejandro, can I table this so the respondent can get off to his job?
Okay. Yeah, I'll make a motion to table this till next meeting to address.
We're making a motion, sir. We'll get through this quickly.
Okay.
Motion to table this to the next meeting so that we can have clarification on when these photos were taken and by whom, or when they were submitted, or approximate dates of when they were taken.
I think it's when they're taken.
If we get that.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. My apologies to Dr. Angel for cutting you short.
No, that's okay.
All right.
Mr. Motion Fidel. Passed.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Fidel. Thank you, Mr. Lynch. I'm sure staff will be in touch with you both to let you know when we continue this matter.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
So when it says proposed to offer consent agreement, Mr. Fidel said he declined. What is okay.
Thank you for coming to Mr. Fidel.
Thank you.
Okay, so next on the sign-up sheet, we have a call-in. For item 7B, which is an application for registration as electrical engineer, Shannon Ori. So let's go ahead and move to that one, Kurt.
7B.
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 So he probably assumed his call link much earlier, so we'll see what he...
And I think that I lost.
Gosh,
what?
Please leave a message for begin recording your message at the tone. When you have finished, you may press the pound key or hang up.
Hello, Mr. Ori. This is Kurt Winter, the Arizona Board of Technical Registration. Calling you later than expected here at the board meeting. I will try you again at a later time. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on from this issue. For one reason, we couldn't get a hold of him. And the second reason is I found the sign-in sheet for the gentleman in the back and my sincerest apologies for making you wait. We have 6D4, Mr. Kaiser and Mr. Kowal. 64. And sir, if you'd state your name for the record.
Christoph Kaiser.
Okay, this synopsis of the complaint is alleging that the respondent and respondent firm engaged in the practice of architecture without board registration. Further alleged the respondent firm advertises practice of architecture on the website, which displays numerous commercial projects. Two commercial projects, Tempe Market, Axiom Church, display Christopher Kaiser LLC on the title block and Christopher Kaiser on the architectural heading. This does have a signed consent agreement. That's correct, Mr. Kaiser? You signed a consent agreement?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So is there anything you'd like to offer to the board at this time in addition to that agreement?
So, yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. I have no issue with the consent agreement that was sent to me. I wish it was more descriptive in that we didn't simply have architects sign our drawings. We had architects listed on the cover sheet of our construction documents. Anytime we engaged an architect that we were working with, it was clear on the construction documents and they were listed underneath of our project heading. What we did incorrectly, and we've learned a lot in this process, is that these were not affiliate principals. So upon learning that we need to have an affiliate principal of our office, we made official it was a working relationship with somebody that we had been working with on various projects since 2014. The construction documents, I think, in most cases make it very, very clear. Brent Armstrong, who is here today, is somebody that I went to school with. We went to undergrad together. And he would list on the construction documents his office and my office and where applicable is a designer architect. We've since rectified these things, and so I'm here simply to state that case, and if at all possible for that to be added to the record. I don't know where these records would show up or where they would emerge in the future for me, but I'm trying to just merge my record as best it can be. Okay.
Any board discussion on this matter?
I have a couple of questions. One question, Mr. Christoph, is Mr. Armstrong a registered architect?
Yes.
He doesn't show up on our listing online, does he, or computer having issues?
Under W. Brent Armstrong?
Let me look for W. I was looking for Brent Armstrong, and there were no B. Armstrongs. But I think, I mean, that's all I need to know, that you are registered. Secondly, you have done work with some architects, and you mentioned that. When you did that, were you hiring them, or they were working for the owner?
No, we were hiring them, and that's what I did not understand. We were using them in the same capacity that we were using mechanical, electrical, plumbing, structural, civil engineers. So we were doing the front-end design, that was our strong suit, and then bringing in architects as needed. We did, starting in 2007, the majority of our work was feasibility studies. We were doing renderings and visualizations for projects, most of which never actually happened. These were to the bond elections, committees, those kinds of things. And then starting four or five, actually in 2014, we started doing projects by virtue of initially there was a series of projects where people had hired an architect, they were unhappy with the design. We were brought in on a consultant basis, and we started establishing these relationships with architects where we were making pretty with what the client was unhappy with, and that's sort of how this rolled forward. And it wasn't until this anonymous complaint was lodged that we realized that we needed to have an affiliate principal, and I realized I needed to finally do what I've been procrastinating on for a very long time. My first business partner was licensed, and that took the weight off me, but I'm registered with NCAR. I respect the profession. I fully intend to pursue licensure.
Okay.
Any further questions?
It just irritates me when people do an anonymous complaint.
It's just me. It's a side thing. It came on the heels of a very public, we walked into a battlefield of a project, and there was a whole community that came up in arms and said, we don't want this thing, and the timing is interesting to say that, but it's
well, you're taking the corrective measures.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. I know you're a very upstanding young man, so thank you. Support you on that.
Is that a motion, Neil?
He's upstanding.
No.
I think he realizes what he's done. He's paying the consequences for it.
If I could introduce it all, that would be great. I appreciate it. I'll consider this board meeting time logged. I'm served. I'm just kidding.
I'd like to add just a small piece. So I'm Brent Armstrong, the architect working with Christoph, and have been working with Christoph, and I think to speak to one of the prior items on the agenda that spoke to just stamping other people's drawings. The other thing I think that we were doing right was we had to be very vigilant in how we work. And so when we worked together, I wasn't simply stamping drawings with his staff. I was working with his staff. A lot of times I was working on the drawings myself. Sometimes my staff was working on it. So it was a true, through and through collaboration. So it wasn't this slight of, oh, pay me to stamp your drawing. That was never the case.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the signed consent agreement as written.
Do we have a second?
I second that, Chair.
We have a second and a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay, that was the conclusion of 6D4.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. Nice.
Okay, is there anybody else in the audience here to address the board? Okay, good. On my sign-up sheet, I have two left. We tried Mr. Shannon a few minutes ago. We have item 6E1, Barry Olson, who apparently is an attorney. So let's move to that. 6E1 for that call-in, Kurt. And I will get this queued up on my end.
May I please speak with Barry Olson? This is Kurt Winter at the Arizona Board of Technical Registration. We should have Mr. Olson participate in our board meeting.
Okay, just a moment. I am going to let him know that you're on the line. Hold up, please.
Thank you.
So what does this guy represent? Hey, Jack, it's a nice chair.
I feel better.
Request for guidance.
Hello. Hello, is this Mr. Olson?
Yes, I'm here with Mr. Solis.
Okay. This is the board meeting. You're now in front of the board.
Okay, this is case number P19-039, agenda item 6E1. The respondent is Lawrence Sullins, and he's represented by his attorney, Barry Olson. The synopsis of the complaint is that the board received a complaint alleging the respondent firm engaged in the practice of landscape architecture on Mesa del Sol Landscape Renovations Public Works Project in Yuma without registration with the board. At this time, I'd request that Mr. Olson and the respondent address the board.
Well, thank you. I sent a letter, which I suspect the board has, on February 18th, outlining Mr. Sullivan's position. And I'd also spoken with the investigator, Mr. Hunt, a couple of times about it to see who process is for what could be possibly worked out. I whether or not this what Mr. Sullivan did constitute architecture, we can agree to disagree on that. And obviously, you know, Mr. Sullivan would like to make a point that I want to put on the record is that this particular project, as Mr. Hunt was able to figure out, was where Mr. Sullins was approached by the county, given Mr. Sullins' longtime experience as a landscape contractor in Yuma for some assistance with the smaller project, homeowners, or basically a public improvement system. Apparently the county didn't have a landscape architect or was trying to get this done in an economical manner, requested his assistance, and Mr. Sullivan's been around a long time and never thought that he was crossing the line providing any landscape architectural. I'd also like to add that having worked with a number of landscapers over the years, it's not uncommon, like the members of the board are aware, I think that might happen more in the Yuma area where we don't have any landscape architects, and my knowledge has never had any, at least that I can recall, 25 plus years. Anyways, I don't think whatever Mr. Sullivan did was any sort of an intentional act. If anything, it was totally inadvertent. Certainly, Mr. Sullivan is aware of what the board's concerns are to occur in this instance.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Olson. I'll open it up for board discussion.
Chair, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Gilmore.
This is Jack Gilmore. I'm the landscape architect on the board. And I read through this information, and I tend to agree with Mr. Sullins that, and Mr. Succi, if I said that correctly. I don't think there was any intention by, I'm sorry, Mr. Olson, by Southwest DreamWorks to deliberately go around the process or due process for registration. I think the county is probably the bigger culprit here because they approached Southwest DreamWorks and asked for his assistance. I think the county should be aware that any public works project requires a stamp. So I think, in my opinion, that's where the problem lies. Southwest DreamWorks is not a registrant or a registered firm, so I don't think that we can go maybe much beyond the letter of concern. But I think if we're going to issue a letter of concern, it should go to the county as well. As a reminder that this type of engagement requires a stamp.
Okay. What about the comment in here about the plans are not biddable as drawn? And then the various...
I've studied the plans, and there was an EAC, Dirk DeWitt did a review on this, and I believe you gentlemen have got a copy of that, and I tend to agree with the points in his letter. The plans would not meet a local, what I would call local standard of care for landscape architecture, but maybe this is what is acceptable in Yuma. Shouldn't be, but it doesn't appear that anyone else bid against Southwest DreamWorks. So I don't want to say it was an inside deal, but by default, there was no one else to bid this. So Even though I can accept the fact that he didn't necessarily go out of his way to do something improper, the situation presented itself and he was requested to do a set of plans, and that's what he provided. The county put it out to bid, and I'm surprised there wasn't more feedback, maybe other registrants or other contractors, about the condition of those plans. But I still believe the problem, bigger problem, rests with the county for not knowing these plans should have been done by a registrant.
I would agree with that, especially grading and drainage. It's so important. And it's grading and drainage have no basis in measurement or flow direction. That's a big deal to me, and the county should recognize that. And who's approving the plans? That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Letter of concern, this poor registrant, I would say assurance of discontinuance would be what really should be issued here. That the respondent is not practicing landscape architecture in the future, no matter who comes and asks him to do it, if it's a public works project or something that's supposed to have a registrant on it.
Right, so I think that's, I agree that there's no, there was probably no ill intent, but I think, you know, the respondent needs to understand that he can't do this type of work without a license, because it runs against statute. I know his attorney cited some exemption in the statute, but I couldn't quite place what they meant by that exemption. So I would suggest that we do need to do an assurance of discontinuance. I don't know, as Jason said, that we can do anything against the county as part of this case, because they're not, you know, respondents on the case. But it would probably be good to send them a reminder letter or something that all professional work for public works needs to be done by a registered professional.
Right, and I think that could just be a letter that's just sent to them.
We've done that in the past, so.
Right, that shouldn't be a
deal. Do you want Mr. Foos to sign that, or do you want me to?
I'll sign it.
Okay.
Mr. Sullins has retired, so, and we can issue the letter of
assurance of discontinuance.
Assurance of discontinuance, but he's retired.
Well, he was retired when he did this project, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I understood.
So he's
that.
Semi-retired.
Yes.
Okay.
You know.
Just doing a favor.
Okay.
So do we need a motion to send an assurance of discontinuance?
We have to do it have to be a consent agreement.
Okay, so
then in 30 days.
Well, we direct staff to draw up a consent agreement, correct?
Right. Okay. So I'll make a motion to direct staff to draw up a consent agreement of assurance of discontinuance to Mr. Sullins for case P-19039.
And if
not signed within 30 days, proceed to formal hearing.
Any kind of monetary penalty?
Just to get the cost?
Costs?
No, I wouldn't.
I don't believe in this case we should that justification on it.
Pardon
me?
Kurt?
What's
that?
Who made the
motion?
I did.
Jason is still making the motion.
I'm done now, though.
I'll second that, sure.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for an assurance of discontinuance. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. That finishes case 6E1.
So we need an action to remind, or to send a letter to the county.
I think we just direct staff
to
send a letter to the county.
Prepare a letter, I'll sign.
Okay.
Public Works needs to be registered.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen, on the phone. That completes the case. Okay, so we have one more call in. We tried them earlier. It was Shannon Ory. Do we want to try again?
He was on hold in the front here, and we had told him that after this matter is concluded, we will contact.
Okay, so let's go ahead and give Mr. Ory a call, and that's 7B.
7B.
And that is application for electrical engineering.
I tried to.
It's a ledge. He didn't.
He ran over his wife.
Hello. Colonel Ory.
Who wouldn't want to be?
Hello, Mr. Ory. This is Kurt Winter. I'm here at the board meeting. Are you available to talk to this board meeting right now?
Yes, I am.
All right. And my apologies again for giving you that time slot. This carried on far longer than I expected in my estimated time I gave you, so I apologize for that.
I understand.
Mr. Ory, this is Jason Foos. I'm the chairman of the board here. We're looking at an application for registration as an electrical engineer, application number 190914. We're seeing some criminal history here, and we'd like to offer you the opportunity to delve into that a little bit with the board.
Okay. Do y'all have specific questions?
Does anybody on the board have a specific question in the matter?
Nope.
Wait a second. I'd like to ask you a little bit about your two convictions, Mr. Ory. One for theft and the other one for forgery, specifically, and understand what those were.
Okay. Does the board have in their possession the letter dated April
18,
2019?
Yep.
Yes.
As the letter states, I was going through a divorce in 2009-2010 time frame. The attempted theft with my wife that I was going through, that I was divorcing, claimed that I had hacked into her bank account. Attempted to hack into her bank account. That was that charge there. as my letter states, I fought all the charges for 3.5 years. The initial charge was a felony charge. I had already been convicted of a misdemeanor in a trial a month earlier to avoid another trial. I pled guilty to a misdemeanor. The second charge is exactly as the letter states. In 2011, I purchased a vehicle from a female, a friend of mine, and she claimed, she handed me the title. That's the only way I can have the title in my possession with her signature on it. And then she came back and claimed that I forged it.
Yep.
Because I had the two previous convictions, misdemeanor convictions, in Texas, they were going to use what's called 404B evidence against me, saying that I'm a bad person because I had misdemeanor convictions. And instead of risking that felony charge, I pled guilty to that misdemeanor.
And why did your female friend accuse you of it, of forging the title, if you have any idea?
Maybe. I do not have any idea. After that happened, we did not communicate at all. Maybe she was mentally unstable. I don't know. I don't have that answer.
Okay.
I am, I'll speak for myself, I'm very concerned about those two issues because those speak to the good moral character of registrants. Forgery is, we see that fairly often, and it's, very problematic if you can't trust your professional, same with theft. So,
I understand your concern, and I understand that task of the board is to protect the people of Arizona, but I must add, if it's worth anything, I have never been accused of anything, any impropriety in the practice of engineering, nor have I ever been accused of anything by an employer.
Yeah. And your desire to register in Arizona is, do you have any specific projects or things to you?
That is correct. My firm is an EPC firm who's doing work in Arizona and one project, a solar project. It's an interface with WAFA, and it's that is in the state of Arizona. That's correct.
Well, to get going, I'll make a motion to grant registration as an electrical engineer to Mr. Worry.
We have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion among the board on this?
His record's been clear since 2011. I didn't see anything else in there. The last misdemeanor.
Uh, 2013, I believe.
So 6 years.
I have concerns with moral character, so I'll oppose.
Any further discussion? Any more questions?
Hey, Mr. Chair, reading through this for the record, maybe I didn't read it correctly, but there was a charge with attempted first-degree murder and aggressive kidnapping. Is this the same person?
Yes, and reckless endangerment as well.
Yes.
But he went to trial and he was convicted on reckless misdemeanor endangerment.
Jury trial.
Okay.
Gotta remember, you're reading a newspaper article.
Well, I know that's yeah.
Take that with a grain of salt.
Thank you.
Okay, well, the waters have settled here. I think it's time to call for the question. All in favor of granting licensure?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
We have one opposed. Motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Ory.
Thank you, Board.
Get
the winter by.
Okay, so that gets us through all of the sign-ins and all of the call-ins. Down there. I am looking at, let's see, what do I have left on enforcement? I have 6F1, 6C1, 6A1 and 2.
6A3, okay. 2.
Yeah.
6A3.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the 6As here and try and work through this. Can anybody consent anything, or does anybody see anything that they can group together?
Talk to the doctor.
I had issues with 1 and 2, but I can express 1 in like 15 seconds, and if not, we can move on.
Okay.
So 6A1? 6A1, yeah.
6A1, let's do it.
This was an issue where an engineer got an engagement to do a small project. He was $1,200, and the proposal identified a timeline of 3 to 4 weeks. To do a plan, and it took 8 months for the first submittal. So I don't think it's a big deal, but I think she should be advised to give realistic timelines because the guy was waiting on a submittal for 8 months when the contract said 3 to 4 weeks. And then she explained that it was an issue, that it was more complicated than she thought, but I think any research looking at a GIS would have shown that it was complicated. So no discipline, but I would suggest a letter. I would move that we issue a letter of concern reminding her of the to provide realistic timelines and good scoping for projects.
Isn't that a contract issue, though?
What's that?
4 weeks and it took 8 months?
Yeah,
contract
but issues. Isn't that an issue with the public?
All
that
right.
This guy was sitting on it for 8 months?
Well, I'm trying to, what violation was made of the Practice Act. Just because they told her one time frame and another time frame, I'm trying to see how we have purview over that.
Okay. That's fine.
Sure.
So did you launch a motion?
If it's a letter of concern, there actually isn't any violation of the practice act, so it would be just a non-disciplinary.
But it's fine. If if we don't feel like we need to do anything, I'm okay with it. This one, I don't feel as strongly as 6A2.
Okay, so I don't think I heard a motion. I think that I'll call for the question on 6A1. Well, I guess I do need a motion, don't I, to dismiss? Yeah. I'm sorry. Somebody give me a motion.
Chair, I'd like to make a recommendation that we approve 6A1.
Dismiss.
Sorry.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dismiss 6A1. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
One opposed, motion passes. 6A2.
Exactly.
Looks like 6A2 and 6A3 are together. Can we take those two together?
We already did three.
Yeah.
Oh, we did. That's
we
right.
Had our chance.
Yeah, they're different issues on the same project, Mr. Chair. So I'll explain my concern with this one. It was an issue where somebody agreed to do a job, was paid for it, and then did not perform. They committed to doing a site plan, and all they did by looking at it is something that, you know, they had on the website. And when we asked the respondent to provide evidence for this claim, they sent us a bunch of plans for other projects that is not what we were asking. They did not address what the issue was. We have evidence, I mean, tens and tens of pages of text where the alleger was contacting the respondent and asking where the status of the project was, and he was given, you know, the runaround, you know, illness, errand illness, trip, everything. But then they claimed that they didn't do any of the work because they didn't have a signed contract. So they took the money, they never mentioned the contract to the client being an issue, they just gave them other excuses. But when it came time to do the work, they said they couldn't do it because they didn't have a contract. We have the alleger claiming that the site plan he was given for a custom home was for the website, from the website, and then the website had been taken down, so we have no way to verify that. So that's my concern is that they weren't honest with the alleger. The alleger, I mean, again, we have 50 text messages saying that, where's my project? Are you working on it? And they say, yes, we're trying to, but, you know, I'm going on a trip. Or, we're trying to, but I had surgery or whatever. Never once said that they say, we don't have a signed contract. And this went on for 6 months.
Okay, so we have two case assessments that led us to dismissal or closure. What are you seeing different? What do you think, where should we put this?
The other one was, the one we didn't do or we dismissed is because they were saying that Wagner, who was one of the two respondents, had represented himself to be an architect, and I don't think there was any evidence that he had represented himself to be an architect. The charge here is that they took money from the alleger and didn't do any of the work, and then abandoned the project. And I think that information is there. Their excuse is, we didn't have a contract. But I have a problem with that, because for 6 months they did not once mention that. They just made up a bunch of other excuses.
And by they, you mean Mr. Takich?
Both Wagner and Takich.
Okay, well then, but this case is just Takich, so we're dropping all that on him? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the other case was about presenting himself to be an architect, so I don't think we have a case on the other one. This case is against Takich.
But the way I read it, I mean, Takish was kind of a subcontractor, right? Subconsultant to Wagner. I guess the question is, who received the money?
$10,000.
The company, all billed, and I believe they're partners.
$10,380.
Yeah, so I mean, what they, and this is, Okay, I was in bed with a fever. I had surgery last week, skin cancer. And the surgery didn't go well. I'm going to have another one. I'm traveling now and can't get to it. And this is from both of them. And then a ledger provided photos of them on Facebook, not outside the country. Herbert's in Germany. His father had a heart attack. We'll be back soon. Have a nice day. I mean, just this went on for 6 months.
That's a problem.
I think there's more to it than meets the eye.
Well, right. I get all that. I mean, I understand their excuses and all this stuff. I mean, but the question is, was it solely this? I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, it's a tax issue or both. Yeah.
You know, because it looks like these quote-unquote drawings that were done, which is this kind of a topographical map with a thing stuck on top of it, were done by this all design build. Whose company is that?
Tracker.
I think it's, yeah. All design and build construction. Do you know who the owners are, Mr. Will?
Well, at least it's Mr. Tkach.
Okay.
He's the owner of that firm?
The contract. See, the contract is, you know, the owner and then all design and build consultants is Wagner and Tkach are managed members, both.
So it's both of them.
But Tkach is a non-registrant. Wagner is a non-registrant.
Right.
And it says that they do residential, commercial, and hospitality. Wouldn't that be an issue for Wagner designing commercial?
Yeah, but if Tkach is doing it. Yeah. So I don't know, but in this case, what I see is the potential for restitution. I mean, you can't just walk off a project, not do anything, and keep the money because you didn't have a contract. Well, you shouldn't have taken the money then.
Well, and I get that too, but I'm trying to decide, is this something for us, or should this be, I mean, I think he has a civil case against this guy. Or, not quite sure on
what
on the board what the board has on this.
What's the paragraph of the practice act we need to reference? Anybody know?
So I think though it says commercial rock license, residential rock license, and when there's a note that's not exist with that ledger. Do you have
served as representing
or
not sure what you're looking at?
That's on page 868. So it has design and engineering services, residential, commercial, hospitality, and then it lists commercial with a rock license, residential with a rock license, project monitoring, construction management, repair and renovation, and then there's a little note that says the rock licenses don't exist.
Right.
And were they doing this as a design build, or was this just a design?
Just the design. The contract was just for design. I hate to put stuff off. I don't know if we know what we need to do with it. Well, I just don't know that we should dismiss.
I mean, I understand your concerns. I mean, sounds like they defrauded this guy, but I don't know if it's, I mean, is it in our purview to take this, or is this a civil, would this be a civil matter where he should go to court to reclaim this money? I mean, he obviously gave them money, then their response was, well, you didn't sign the contract, but I, to your point, why did you take the money then? And then they didn't produce anything. I'm still trying to decide, you know, would this be...
That's what I was thinking. It's 32128C2, gross negligence, incompetence, bribery, or other misconduct in the practice of the profession. I think that's gross negligence.
Well, it's not really gross negligence, because that would be if you designed something and it was wrong. But maybe...
Misconduct?
Misconduct. Could be, you know, I think if you're going to make a, you better state exactly what you're stating it on, though, because I can see this being a weird, weird thing, because I believe his response is going to be, I didn't get the money. The other guy got the money. And if we have the wire transfer to him, yes.
I think the evidence suggests that the money was paid to the firm. The Koch is the firm principal.
And they are the firm?
Yeah, both of them are.
So
some of them were managing members of the LLC.
Yeah.
So the check went to the firm.
But there's a wire that went to the architect.
They did additional projects with the same client before.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to see what you guys think. Is that we, instead of dismissing, we offer a consent agreement to Mr. Takach. And the violation to be worked on by staff would be for 32128C2, gross negligence, incompetence, bribery, or other misconduct in the practice of the profession. And this is because they had from February through August to do work and did very little of it despite taking the money. Gave the client multiple excuses for not doing the work. And then at the end, the only reason they gave was that contract wasn't signed, despite the fact that they took the money. So I would suggest that potential penalty would be restitution, cost of investigation, and a letter of reprimand.
Pay the money back. That's a restitution.
Yeah.
No fines.
Cost of investigation.
Cost of investigation, restitution. And a letter of reprimand.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Anybody have any further discussion on the matter? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. Motion passes.
That one's coming back.
Okay. The next item I show is 6C1.
Do an issue with one or three?
None.
Put those together?
Make a motion. Mr. Chair, we accept the signed consent agreements for 6C1 and 6C3.
Identity document for 6C3. Does the individual not call in? They wish you would read this letter.
This is to offer.
That way we're going to get out of it.
Yeah,
it's an offer. They're not signing.
It's a lot of trees. Yeah, let's do that. Oh, Andre, you want to take a couple over there?
Oh, so there's nothing on that yet, right? Because he hasn't even spoken. How about D1, 3, 6, and 7? Anybody have issues with any of those? Anybody?
No.
Anybody?
Which ones?
One, 3, 6, and 7 of D.
None. No issues.
Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we accept the signed consent agreements of 61. 63, 66, and 67.
I'll second that.
Oh, wait.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Can't touch your tongue.
Motion passed to consent those items in 6D.
What about my motion to consent 6C1?
We have to read this letter first.
That was 6C3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 6C1, I think.
Okay, so we have a motion to
consent 6C1.
To offer the consent in 6C1. adopted a consent agreement.
Yes.
Second.
We do have a second?
Update, I got it signed, so.
6C1?
6C1.
So make a motion to accept.
So move that we accept the signed consent.
For Arthur McKay.
Chair, I'd like to change my motion to, like to make a motion that we accept the signed consent agreement for 6C1.
Second.
We have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to offer consent agreement for 6C3 to Mr. Findlay, encompassing what they.
Did you read the letter?
Okay, we have a motion to.
I read the letter, but this is only an offer, so.
Yeah.
For a letter reprimand, administrative penalty in the amount of $250, cost of investigation, amount of $172.
That's minor.
Yeah, well, the registrar is making the argument that, you know, he's not getting penalized for the original complaint, but for something else, for lack of firm registration, not for doing a bad job with the inspection, which is true, but that doesn't mean that there should be a penalty for not being registered as a firm, so I don't see his argument.
Okay, so we have a motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, now discussion?
That's it.
Great, thanks. Any further discussion on that? Steven? Okay, all in favor of offering the consent?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay, so it looks like to me that I've got 6F1 that we've got to do, and 6H.
H1.
One. So let's go to 6F1, compliance monitoring.
I can make a motion on this one already there.
Okay, please do.
Mr. Foose, if you are ready.
I am ready.
I'll make a motion that we lift the stay of suspension on, and suspend respondent's alarm agent license 63034 for the case to formal hearing for revocation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second, any discussion on the item?
One quick question for staff, which is, if his registration has expired since January of 18, hasn't it been canceled already?
That's very possible.
Okay, so are we clear on that? Dr. Angel, you good with that answer?
Good.
Okay. We have a motion and a second, any further discussion?
Aye.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. 6H1, discuss, take possible legal action on voting to complaint of notice of hearing for HI-17018, Bashford, Troy. 6H1.
Green guys.
I can probably.
Green guys have on your screen.
Mr. Donald, yes?
I can probably sum this one up some more pretty quickly. This is a matter that was set on the hearing track, but there was never actually a formal vote put forward to complaint notice of hearing. It was set for a consent agreement, but the board needed some language at the end of it that would normally send it to a complaint notice of hearing, so it was back to the board for a formal vote to a complaint notice of hearing.
So we're looking for a motion for a complaint notice of hearing?
Yes, the board would like to send it to a complaint notice of hearing.
Anybody want to make that motion?
Okay, so I'll make a motion that we send case HI-17018 Bashford to complaint notice of hearing.
If he hasn't been canceled.
If he has not been canceled.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay, that gets us through enforcement, according to my records. Is everybody there with me?
Yep.
Okay. We looked at 7 licensing matters. Does anybody need a break?
Nope.
No.
Okay, we don't need a break. Let's. I should have asked everybody, not just those two. Are we all good? I don't hear anybody jumping up or anything. Okay, so let's go on to 8, license consent agenda. We've got 8A1, cancellation of registrations. Look for Neil's name.
It's got Michael Goodwin's names on here.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to cancel registration certifications that have been expired for 1 full renewal period as listed in 8A1.
We have a motion. Can I get a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second from Mr. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. 8A2, review the list of registration certifications granted by the Executive Director.
No actions.
Doesn't need any action.
Okay, no action. We'll move on to 9. Policy matters. 9A, Board response to Executive Order 2019-1 moratorium on rulemaking to promote job creation, service-oriented agencies protecting consumers against fraudulent activities. Melissa, Patty, anything on that?
I need the board to vote on the draft response letter because it's due to the governor's office by Friday. So this came before you last month. I made some edits to, remember I gave you 2 choices last month, the long version and the short version. This is the short version, but I made some changes to it, so hopefully you like it. Alejandro debates about whether we investigated 21 cases of unlicensed activity. That's what the stats from last year showed.
But that's not per month, though. I mean, did we do 250 cases of unlicensed activity in 2018?
No, you're right.
Okay, that's per year, right?
Right.
Okay. That was it.
You suggested.
You had 21 a month. Holy moly, that's all.
Well, I should say 21 cases a year.
A year. Okay.
On license activity. Because otherwise, you don't know what happened to the 21 cases. Or to 250 if it was per month.
Okay.
This way we know.
All right. Sounds good.
Any other additions or revisions to that?
What do you think? I think it answers what the executive order wants us to say. I think our process is really good.
We all know the truth. No one's reading that letter, so.
Well, the governor's office did call me and ask if I was going to send it.
Oh, they want it, but they're not going to read it. That was Jason Madison that said that.
Who's trying to leave the board.
And I thought it was a good idea to include all the work that we've done. Just for the record.
Okay, looking for a motion to approve the letter and have Melissa send it.
With the one change.
I'll move to approve the letter with the one change we discussed.
We have a motion.
Second.
Second by Mr. Gilmore. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Going on to 9B, legislative update. Patty, how fast can you read?
Really, really fast. The great news is, 1, the legislature has adjourned for this year. 2, House Bill 2146 had to do with the waiver, you can waive licensure. That was a strike all on the floor. It's now very narrow, has to do with financial business, doesn't impact any of our people. 2182, that would have let people who are denied a license have a formal hearing rather than informal hearing, failed, so it's gone. 2660 gives you more constraints on what you can do with the person's criminal history. It passed, and I won't even go into detail right now, so you're brain dead. 1232 is the anti-competitive. If you change the OWA order, it would have to have another hearing to decide what was anti-competitive. It died without getting through the House. And then Senate Bill 1482 is the cost of living. If you want to raise fees, if you have to get to cost of living, it's passed. other than the one bill, we don't know what it really does.
The criminal history one?
Yeah.
So they passed the one for fees that you can't raise and accept cost of living, except you can't raise fees because they won't let you change the rules. Government.
Yeah.
Love it.
And I still haven't heard about the interpretation regarding 2569, which is whether we need to require everyone applying be a resident of Arizona. That's a really important question for us, since most of our applications come from out-of-state businesses that have already been established that want to get licensed to bid on one job or whatever here in Arizona. And
that's one where they have to live here, right?
Right. So I don't know what that will be, and until and if we get a decision, we're just business as usual. We're processing those applications like we always have. So if somebody's already licensed in another state, they have a NCARB certificate or a model law engineer certificate, we're processing them with the same speed that we have been. Okay?
Okay. Anything else on that, Melissa?
That's all so far on the legislation.
Okay, let's go to 9C, presentation of plaque of appreciation to board members.
Yeah, I had hoped 9C. To have the plaque for you, but its production has been delayed, so this will be going back on the agenda for June. But it is my way of saying thank you to everyone who continues to serve even after their terms have expired.
Mine should be bigger than everyone else's.
It should be. I acknowledge that.
Agree.
But everyone is important, and
it's that gold and fireworks shooting out of it.
Yeah, you need to know.
Jimmy Minerly is never here.
Well, you need to know that 7 out of the 9 of you now are going after June 30th will be serving.
So who's still? Carmen's still good,
Carmen,
right?
And
Carmen
me.
And Jay Poo.
Well, it's going to be a lonely meeting with just the two of you, isn't it?
It'll be fun.
Yeah. So it's just my way of saying I'm really proud to be working with you guys. I think you rock. You're awesome. And we couldn't do the work of our board if you didn't continue to come every month and participate, even if I don't always like the votes. I think it's good discussion. It's definitely ensuring public protection. So next month, you'll have your plaque, and we can have a picture if you want. I'm going to put it on Facebook.
I won't be here, so.
You won't be here. Well, fine. When you come back, you'll see your name.
Yeah. Okay. I thought the scones were kind of good, you know.
So Melissa, you keep contacting the governor's office, and they don't just
government
public service.
I know you're doing border work now.
Oh yeah, never mind. Don't tell them.
Okay,
California.
Moving on, director's report.
I only have a few updates for the for brevity's sake. Jana.
Thank you.
Okay. Our request to continue to use our money to pay for the continued cleaning of our data in the computer was approved. So we get to use funds from this year through August of 2019 to pay for what we hope will be the conclusion of the data cleanse. That is proceeding. The vendor has been here working with Kirk and Rob and staff. To better understand what we use so they know how to migrate the data. So our first milestone is due June 4th, and then hopefully they will actually be migrating data. They're calling it mapping workflows and data analysis. I did get an update regarding the GEO Solutions appeal of the denial of their claim. The appeal has been sent to the Office of Administrative Hearings by the Department of Administration, so we are anticipating having to testify at a formal hearing, which is currently scheduled for July 19. I don't have any other further updates on that.
Can you say who would testify at this point?
That would be probably me and Patty. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Drag Robin?
Yeah, better throw Robin there, too.
Come on, Rob. Pony up.
That would be up to the AG defending state procurement. You see in the report that
he's not smiling.
With Emily Rajakovich from the governor's office, we talked about the raising of fees. The good thing is we won't need to do that because our fund balance is healthier than Patty and I thought, because the reports we get from CSB cut off before the final fund balance is there. That was great. So we actually have $3 million in our fund balance, and we can use that as long as it's appropriated to Salesforce.
Yeah, about lunch,
but they say no. So
no,
we're going to...
About an extra line.
You're a rich architect.
So our plan is to make sure the data has been cleansed before we rush into drafting an RFP to go with a vendor for Salesforce. But that is the plan. We don't need to raise fees, so that is a really good thing. And we might have needed to have done that with the rulemaking, so we don't need to do that. It's great news. Department of Real Estate and us have been discussing home inspection.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding. Please.
Yeah, I would say alarms, too.
Yeah, that was a call to DPS. I'm still scouting out the right person to speak to, but that's the plan. And given that we do have a healthy fund balance, I might be able to soften any...
Give me some of it.
We will see.
Well, so that'd be huge for us. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Jay Fu and the other members of the task force are going to meet next week. Yes.
Yeah, the third or the...
Four,
the third.
Four,
yeah.
Except
like
for
that.
Me. I think it's the third.
Except
yeah.
For
I got dogs.
Oh, that's a home inspector.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. This is the task force meeting, and I can have Jason talk more about that. I am going to the NCARB meeting with Patty. Do you want me to raise the issue of Westcard dues again? I still think it's a violation of our gift.
Harass that about it.
Right, and what I would love to do is refuse to pay and see if they kick us out. But I don't want to do that unless you guys think that's wise. And he's giving me the stink eyes. We don't have to pay anything right now, so I can just raise the issue.
What do you mean we don't have to pay anything?
The dues aren't due until like January.
Probably all you have to do is send an email to Ed saying, WCARD dues, and that's it. And it's he'll know.
Yeah, he will.
He knows the position of the board on that.
Is it his prerogative to support us?
No. He's now on the board.
He's on the board. But he knows.
Will he be up at the table?
Yeah.
So, at least for the region. But I can keep my mouth shut if you guys don't want me to mention the Westcard dues issue.
I think it's ridiculous we pay you all that.
Yeah, so.
$4,000?
Keep bugging them about it.
$4,000
a year. $2,000 is for the executive director to send us emails, and then $2,000 just goes into a fund that we receive no benefit for, whatever.
You can't be the only state opposed to this.
I've always opposed this.
I know, but other states are joining.
Other states are now joining. But I don't know what it will require to fix is a bylaws change at NCARB. We are fine with being members of a region, but we don't want to have to pay extra for that. And I'm happy to say that again, because the message in the past had morphed into, well, Arizona doesn't want to be part of the region, and that's not true.
We're not members of the region.
Right.
As long as we're NCARB members.
Well, that's kind of my thought. Let's just pay the NCARB dues.
What's this good little meeting they have every year, and it's not even in our region?
Right.
It's in Kentucky or Tennessee. Really? What's up with that?
Yeah, I think we're getting a little...
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Talk Donald.
Talk business, Scott.
You must be
in a
hurry.
I did put on in the director's report, which is public record, that I would like to support the idea of discussing Westcard dues issues. So for open meeting law purposes, the discussion topic has been agendized. I don't believe that we need to be more specific than that. But of course, I will defer to the greater legal minds at the AG's office.
We're overpaid.
We went, Jean, Patty, Kirk, and I attended the Zoom meeting. They talked about the annual meeting issues that gentlemen will love to hear are the interest in having a PE prior to taking an SE exam. So meaning like JMAB, if this passes, you will have to, if you want to be licensed someplace else, take a PE civil or something.
I got my model law. I can get licensed everywhere.
But that's what it means. They want to consider an SE as an advanced license. And they are going to be discussing, because this is what they do, they sell their exams, that everybody should take a PE before they sit for an SE exam.
This national?
This is a national discussion topic, yes. Wow. And then the state-specific survey exams is a big issue of discussion, and I know Jade has been part of the discussion. It's actually a really interesting idea. NCWS is talking about beefing up their professional surveying exam to include modules, not unlike what NCARB does with the six different modules that they require licensee or potential licensees to take and pass, so that we as individual states and the public lands areas of the country don't necessarily have to make people take state-specific exams anymore. I don't know if you have a better explanation, Jefu, but...
I think we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Now. Yeah.
It's kind of a cool idea, so they're going to talk more about it.
Time's your flight.
Other issues of discussion that came up at the meeting were Washington Accord degrees and how and if states give deference to them, we do. They want to know whether Colorado has decided not to ask for applications for professional engineer anymore. They just want an MLE, which again defers state action to the National Council. So NCWS is all excited about that because so they're going to be pushing other states just to accept an MLE in lieu of their own state-specific application. And then ETAC degrees, which is engineering technology degrees, are finally getting some nod. In our rule, we don't give as much credit for education if you have an engineering technology degree as we do for a four-year engineering degree, but some states give no credit whatsoever if you have a college degree in engineering technology. So now it's being discussed that it maybe deserves 3 or 4 years. We are already giving 3 years. And we don't require any education in Arizona, as you know. So these were some of the discussion points at the meeting. And then ASBOG announced that their meeting is taking place in Minneapolis the week of November 4th.
That ought to be fun.
So if anyone wants to go, let me know. I did leave something for Jack about the meeting in St. Louis in September for CLARB. If any of you want to see what landscape architecture meetings are like, we're happy to send you with Jack. And we're thinking of sending Kurt along as well to that meeting so he sees how the landscape architecture works. So that's what I have, gentlemen, unless you have any questions.
Is JMAC going to NCUS?
Yep.
I invited him because of this critical PESE discussion.
Should be mandatory.
I know.
Should
I have you, Jean, and Jefu down. If anyone else wants to go, let me know because registration for the national meeting will be coming up.
Jean will be on vacation again, so he can't go.
No, Jean wants to go to D.C. He does.
Yeah. I would go if there's any way not to have to deal with the people at NCWS to get there.
Okay. Is that your report, Melissa?
It is. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're moving on to 11 board chairs report. We have a survey task force that we're working on. We're receiving and trading information via the file share. Our next meeting is June 3rd, next week, I believe. I want to thank Kirk for all of his extra help on this. He's really pulling this thing together for us, trading the information, keeping everybody informed, posting things on the website, so thank you, Kurt. That's all I have for Board Chair's report. Item 12, Assistant Attorney General report, nothing to report, is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you, sir. Standing Committee reports, L&R, we have a nothing to report, is that true?
They have not met since for several months now.
Okay. Home Inspector Rule and Standards, the next meeting is June 11th, 2019.
June 4th.
June 4th, that has to be...
June 4th. That was changed. Anything to add to that?
Nope.
Okay, we will move on to item 14, Board Member Reports on Outside Activities. I think some of this got covered in the Director's Report, but if anybody's got anything to add... Does anybody have anything they want to share with ASBOG?
Yeah, moving forward.
Okay.
You're good.
We're good. NCARB? Neil?
I'm going a day early.
That was... Thank you for sharing that.
You asked.
Jason? Okay.
I don't like NCWS, I'll put that on the record.
Okay, we've got that.
In case anybody didn't know.
You think I like NCARB?
NCES, okay. All right, future board meetings, June 25th.
Would there be a quorum? I know I'm out. J-Man said he's out.
I'm not gonna be here.
I should be here, I don't foresee any conflicts.
Any of the others? Great. Okay, just let Kurt know if you're not here. We should have a quorum if it's only you two gentlemen. So, we will miss you.
Carmen and I are the only ones that are legal anyways.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody have a good and safe summer. Thank you for participating today, putting up with me. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.